Well, good morning, everybody. I may need to turn that one off. You going to turn that one off for me, David? I'm going to have a lot of reverb there. All right, great. Welcome. So happy that you're here this morning. I've not been so ready to preach in a long time. There's a lot of great energy in here this morning, and I'm so thankful for the way that you've led us in praise this morning, Andrew. Such a wonderful way to get us all ready to come before God's throne as we have and give Him our praise and our worship. I love the decorations. I would love to form a committee to do decorations for sermon series every Sunday. Because you pay attention better. I can just tell already you're paying more attention because of this. And so I love that. I love all the work that's been done to prepare for our VBS. We've had so many people working long hours into the night to get this ready for this thing. I mean, if you're on the outside looking in, you think this stuff just kind of happens. It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work, that goes into making something like this to happen and to happen well. And we've had people from all ages participating. We've had seasoned members and new members that have been involved. If you've not seen yet the whale room downstairs that the Holmes have done, you're going to be impressed with that. And there's a submarine room downstairs and just wonderful, wonderful decorations getting us ready for a great vacation Bible school. I want to encourage all of you to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to see Christ make an impact in our community, you want to see a difference made in our world, invest in our kids and be here tonight with a spirit of joyfulness and celebration as our kids are being engaged with the message of the Bible and are celebrating what Jesus has done for all of us. So I really want to encourage you to be here tonight at 6 o'clock as we get this thing kicked off. I was thinking as we were praising God this morning, that man, I love this passage in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem. And they're welcoming him in his triumphal entry into the city. And they're laying these palm branches in front of him. And the Bible says that they were shouting joyfully in praise to the King of Kings coming into the city. And the Pharisees told Jesus, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, if I tell them to be quiet, the rocks will cry out. You see, I love the energy this morning because we've come together to celebrate a risen King. Amen? And to celebrate what He has done for us. And that ought to be every Sunday that we celebrate the risen King. And so I'm just so excited. I can't remember the last time I've been so ready to preach because of what you've done to get me ready this morning to bring you the message of the hour. So today what I want to share with you is a message about freedom. The freedom that Christ came to give us. Christianity is not a religion of bondage. It is a religion of freedom. And you got to get that. You got to feel that. You got to know what He came to do for you because it is a life of unbelievable celebration and joyfulness and release and freedom that He came to give. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I think and by the way, our text this morning is from Galatians 5 that was read for us. So I want you to look there and follow along with us. We're going to primarily be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 this morning. And I think the way I want to start it is this way. I read an article this week from the New York Times. This article was from July of last year. It was an article called, "You Just Got Out of Prison, Now What?" And the article by John Mualim was an article that told about two guys named Carlos and Roby. Carlos and Roby are two ex-convicts who spent a lot of time in prison, but now they're out living productive lives in society. And the article talked about what their mission is now that they're out of prison. Their mission is they go and pick up inmates the day that they're released from prison, and they guide them through a changed world. Now, I want you to imagine how shocking it would be if you've been incarcerated for the last 20, 30, 40 years, and you've been in a prison cell, you've been in prison, and the world has kept moving on, how different and how shocking the world would be when you try to be acclimated back into society. They have a hard time doing it, and so Carlos and Roby are trying to help these inmates to get back into life and integrate back into life after these extended periods of time in prison. And what the article said was that inmates have what psychologists call profound disorientation or psychological turbulence when they try to live a normal life back in society. In fact, one prisoner was so confused when he came back into life after being decades in prison. He came back into work, the world like we know it, and he had no idea how to get in the car, because he was handed a little plastic piece with a button and no key. And he couldn't get in his car. Or the story that was told about another prisoner who was in a restaurant and went to the bathroom and literally tore the soap dispenser off of the wall because he couldn't get any soap out, because he had no idea that all you have to do is wave your hand under it. Another story was told about a lady. In fact, Harvard sociologist Bruce Western describes a woman who frequently forgot to eat breakfast and forgot to eat her lunch for several months after being released from prison, because she was used to always being called to meals while she was in prison. They call you to the meal. So without that call, she forgot to eat. You see, inmates have a difficult time learning to live outside of prison. If they don't learn how to do that, many of them end up back behind bars. Because ironically, a life of restriction and a life of incarceration is the only way that many of them really know how to live. So Carlos and Roby try to help inmates learn how to live a productive life outside of prison. They try to teach prisoners how to live in freedom. You see, now watch this carefully. When you've been imprisoned and you've been told every move to make, sometimes it is difficult to figure out how to live in freedom. Now that's what Paul is talking to us about in Galatians. Particularly in Galatians chapter 5. So again, verses 13 through 15 is our text, Galatians 5. And here Scripture gives us direction about how to live in the freedom that we have been given in Christ. And when you look at these verses, you see three main things that come to the forefront. Number one, you got to first realize that you have been set free in Christ. Number two, if you've been set free in Christ, stop living like a prisoner. And then number three, start living a productive life as a citizen of kingdom society. So let's look at all three of those in turn. First of all, you have been set free in Christ. In verse number 13, when Paul starts here, he begins by telling us just simply this: you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. You see, Paul is reminding us this is our calling in Christ. It's almost as strong as he could say it. This is what you're supposed to do. You have been called to live in your freedom. In fact, if you look back at chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, we have been set free, how? By the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith. And so we don't need to return. In fact, he says, do not return to the slavery of thinking that you are saved by your performance, by your works, by your good behavior. Don't return back to that, because that is enslaving. Now, whenever we hear that, many of us will immediately object. And we will say something like this: if you really believe that we've been set free in Christ by His grace, that's dangerous. Because what that's going to practically do is it's going to cause people to to think they have license to just live in sinful behavior. People say, no, this freedom in Christ, that's dangerous, because what people will say is, I can just live any way I want to. It doesn't matter what I do because I've been set free in Christ. But I want to say to you this morning that really the danger is not the freedom we've been given in Christ. The real danger is legalism. And the reason legalism is the real dangerous doctrine is because it tries to seduce you into thinking that you can achieve the impossible. And that is that somehow, by being good enough, by obeying the laws well enough, that you can somehow change your old nature by your own willpower. And guess what? Let me tell you this morning, if you think that, your flesh will always rebel. It always will. You know, here's what it's like. To say that somehow you can be saved by your good behavior, by your moral goodness, by your religious performance, it's like saying to a lawbreaker, I'm going to reform you by giving you more laws. Giving a lawbreaker more laws is not going to make him follow the law. It's just going to give him more laws to break. You see, Christ came to set us free from that kind of spiritual slavery. His death sets us free from several things. It sets us free from the guilt of sin. It sets us free from the penalty of sin. And thirdly, and even kind of as a crescendo, it sets us free from the power of sin. Jesus said in John 8, "And if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." You see, Christianity is not bondage. Christianity is a call to freedom. And the book of Galatians, that is the theme of that whole book. It makes clear we are no longer slaves following the rules of a master. In Christ, we have been made sons. And we have the freedom now to live spaciously in the Father's house. Let me give you an illustration to try to help you see this. I want you to imagine for a second a young boy whose father is a master carpenter. And the young boy grows up always going with his dad and seeing his dad build furniture and cabinets and all these things in his carpentry shop. And so as the boy grows up, the father begins to try to teach him some of the skills of the trade. And he gives him some pretty regimented rules to follow. For instance, he might say to him, "Boy, before you get ready to cut this board, don't measure once, but every time you measure twice." Or he says to him, "Okay, boy, every time that you get ready to do a project, before you start it, you make sure you've swept up all the sawdust and you've cleaned up the shop before you start the next project." And on it goes, rule after rule, rule after rule. Now, in reality, none of those things have to be done. But he's establishing rules in an effort to begin to train this boy to learn how to be a carpenter. And so let's imagine now the boy grows up. And eventually now the father hands the ownership of the carpentry shop over to his son. And now the son is free to operate that shop any way he chooses. He can choose to do anything he wants to do because now he owns the shop. If he wants to measure twice before cutting the board, he can. But he doesn't have to. If he wants to let there be sawdust all over the floor when he begins the next project, he can because he owns the shop. He's got the freedom to do so. You see, now his freedom has been, the freedom has been given to him to make choices about how to build furniture, how to operate the shop. He's no longer captive to the rules. He has been trained by a master carpenter, and now he has been entrusted with the shop. Now that's exactly what Paul says. Listen to Galatians 3, verses 23 through 26. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned," listen to that word, "imprisoned imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was a guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You see, we have been set free from the law, Paul argues in Galatians, that we might freely live in Christ as sons. Now again, there are probably some of you that are hearing that, and red flags are going off, warning bells are going off, and if you're not careful, you're going to want to try to do to Christians who have been set free what the enemies of the message of Paul tried to do to those that first heard his message. In Galatians 2 and verse 4, Paul says there are some people that are coming in trying to spy out our freedom, trying to make us go back to the slavery of a rule-based religion. But Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you have been set free in Christ. You are called to freedom. And so that is what we need to realize. We've been set free in Christ. So don't go and live like a prisoner. Look at verse number 13, the last part of it. He says, first of all, after he says you've been called to freedom, he says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. You can know what I've just talked about. You can know that you've been set free in Christ. You can know it in your mind, but still live like a prisoner. In the New York Times article that I mentioned at the beginning, the author discusses how that the two ex-convicts, Carlos and Roby, when they're talking in the car getting ready to pick up the inmate that they're going to help acclimate back into society, he kind of gave us a glimpse into their conversation as he rode with them. And he was intrigued to listen to these two ex-convicts talk nostalgically about the food they ate in prison. And he went in great lengths to describe that food, and let me tell you, it was disgusting. But they talked about it so favorably, with nostalgia, like they missed it. In fact, many of them would still eat in their freedom like they were still in prison. If you live like a prisoner after you've been set free, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go back into slavery. You're going to end up back behind bars. Paul said it this way, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. God did not set us free for us to go out and ruin our lives. He wants you and He wants me to live a healthy, productive, and abundant life in the Father's house. And so we must not use our freedom in Christ as an excuse to live in sinful or selfish behavior. Let's go back to our illustration about the boy learning to be a carpenter. Imagine that once that boy grows up and the ownership of the carpentry shop is handed over to him, imagine that he begins to be very irresponsible in the management of that shop. Imagine that he shows up late to work every day and takes off early. Imagine that customers come wanting to purchase some of the furniture that he has constructed, only to not find anybody in the shop because nobody's there at the posted hours of operation. Imagine that he begins to make selfish decisions and to use the business only for his own advantages, and the business finally goes into bankruptcy and goes under. Don't you know, we all know, it would have never been his father's desire that that boy use his freedom to ruin the business and ruin his life. The father's desire is that the son learn how to live in freedom in a way to be successful, so that he can just live in that success without someone needing to oversee what he's doing. He wants him to grow and develop and be a master carpenter, a responsible, productive member of society. You see, God has set us free so that we might know the joys of the beauty of a productive life in the kingdom. God has set you and me free from sin, and he has no intention that we go back and live in the bondage, the imprisonment of sinful behavior. He has set us free from all of that. So what does he want for us? He wants us to be productive members of the kingdom society. Go back to our text here. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." But look at this. "But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." When prisoners are reintroduced back into society, the hope is that they will become productive members of society. In fact, since the mid-2000s, there has been a major push in our culture, in research, government programs, task forces, non-for-profit initiatives, and conferences, in what is now called the reentry movement. It is a movement to try to help provide training and resources and tools to ex-convicts to help them to learn how to live in freedom in society. This too is God's desire for you and me in the spiritual freedom that he has given us. His ultimate goal is described here in these verses, that we should, because of the freedom we've been called to, not go back and live in slavery anymore. Not go back and live in the enslaving ways of the flesh anymore, but instead, in love, serve one another. That's God's desire. You see, part of the reason that prisoners have a hard time learning how to live in freedom and be productive members of society is because they're so accustomed to somebody telling them in prison every move to make. Many Christians, unfortunately, live in that same kind of slavery too. You see, when Christ sets us free, law is replaced by love. All of God's instructions, all of God's laws, look back at what he says here. He says the whole law can be summed up with one word: love. It should be the new motivating principle for someone who has been set free in Christ. Love for one another. If love and service to our fellow man dominates all of our interactions with each other, there is no need for any more laws. Paul says it again in these verses: the whole law is fulfilled in one word: love. Along these lines, an early church father by the name of Augustine, who lived about 354 to 340 AD, some scholars say he is the most important theologian in the first millennia of the Western church. He wrote, it's unbelievable, the catalog of writings that Augustine wrote. And he had so much insight into the message of Christianity. And in his commentary on 1 John chapter 4, he said this, and a lot of people misunderstand what he was saying, but he said this. He said, "Love and do what you will." And then he goes on to say, "If love is at the root of your heart, nothing can spring out of your heart but good." Now, what Augustine is saying is he's saying the same thing Paul is saying here, that when you understand the freedom that Christ has given you, and your heart has been set free, and you are so centered on what Jesus did for you, that love completely overwhelms your heart, then if you have genuine love for your fellow man, then you can do anything you want to do. If you have genuine love for God, you can do anything you want to do. Why? Because if you have genuine love for God, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you would never do anything against the will of God. If you have genuine love, love your neighbor as yourself, the way Jesus calls us to, if you have genuine love for other people, then you can live any way you want to live because you would never live in a way that would be hurtful to somebody else. Love and do as you will, Augustine says. And that's what Paul is saying here. You know, there are a lot of fights that happen in prison. When we live under slavery, having to be told every move to make by rules, Paul says what we end up doing is biting and devouring one another. Have you ever noticed how people that are ruled by a legalistic mindset about their religion, that are just so regimented by all the rules, have you ever noticed how much they fight and argue and divide and split? They claim to be Christians. In fact, there may be some of us that fall into this category, claiming to be Christians, but still living like prisoners. And you're not standing firm in your freedom. When we're always arguing about rules and regulations, we have become self-absorbed and inward focused. When we're prisoners, we're not being productive as members of the kingdom society. And Paul says, watch out, because if you live this way, you will consume one another. Listen to that language. You will consume one another. You see, when we understand the freedom that we've been given in Christ, you know what it'll do to you? It'll turn you into a giver instead of a taker. It'll make you a servant instead of a consumer. I think we've oftentimes misunderstood what freedom really means. We think freedom sometimes means I have rights. I've been set free, so therefore I have rights. I have the right to the pursuit of happiness. I have the right to do whatever I want to do. I have the right to make sure that my spiritual needs are being met by the church. I want to tell you this morning that it is a mistake to think that Christian freedom means that everything's about you. The freedom that Christ came to give you and me is the freedom that empowers us to be more like Him. Freedom in Christ means that our hearts have been set free from to be able to really love people. We've been set free from the enslaving prison of our own selfishness. We've been set free to breathe the fresh air in the spacious beauty of the Father's house and to live in community of loving care for each other. We are empowered to find purpose and joy in serving others instead of just living within the walls and the confines of our own selves. Freedom in Christ is all about moving from being a consumer to being a contributor. It's so ironic, is it not, that when you really understand the freedom in Christ, what that means is that we have been moved from being enslaved to being a servant. It's about becoming a productive member of kingdom society. Here's the difference. Consumers focus on what they get out of worship. Servants focus on what they put into worship. Consumers ask, "What does the church do for me?" Servants ask, "What can I do for the church?" Consumers complain, "I don't get anything out of those Bible classes." Servants commit to contributing toward the classes to making them better. Consumers want to know, "What programs do the church offer? What does the church offer?" Servants say, "What can I do to help the church be more effective?" Consumers always want to sit in another Bible study and hear another sermon, but servants are always looking for an opportunity to share what they have learned with somebody else. Consumers feel like others need to always serve them, and servants are always looking for a way to serve others. Consumers sit back and complain the church is just boring. Servants are looking for ways to make the church more joyful and alive. Consumers are always wanting to know what the church is going to do to give to them, but servants are always asking, what can I do to give to the church? Consumers complain, servants encourage. Consumers criticize, servants empower. Consumers hoard, servants sacrifice. Consumers hate, servants forgive. Consumers compete, servants collaborate. Consumers take and servants volunteer. Consumers destroy, but servants protect. Consumers love things, but servants love people. Freedom in Christ means that through love we serve one another. We don't bite and devour each other. We don't consume one another. Being a productive member of kingdom society means we move from being consumers to being servants. Let me ask you this morning, do you feel enslaved and imprisoned by a false understanding of what it means to follow Christ? Do you feel like this morning that religion is a burden and is a drain on your life? Then I want to say to you this morning, you've not seen what Jesus really came to do. You've not seen the freedom that He came to give you. Do you feel this morning enslaved and imprisoned by your own desires? No matter how hard you try, maybe you find that you can't in any way break the chains of your own enslavery. I want to say to you this morning, the only answer is that Jesus did something for you that you could never do for yourself. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. But this freedom comes only when you fully surrender your heart to believing in Jesus and are clothed with Him in baptism, and you have then the gift of the Spirit of God's Son sent into your heart, so that, as Paul says in Galatians 4 and verse 7, you are no longer a slave but a son who cries out, Abba, Father. Christ came to give you freedom to live. Won't you come and be free indeed? If you want to be set free from the bondage you've been experiencing, come this morning and we'll pray with you. If we can help you with a Bible study, or maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ and to leave all that slavery behind and be washed clean and to come forth in the freedom and the joyfulness and the expanse of the spacious love of the Father's kingdom, we would encourage you to come this morning. If you need prayers with the shepherds of this flock, they'll be available to you in the library, or you can come down front. Whatever your need is, come to Jesus and let your heart be set free as we stand and as we sing.